on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277. Get me on the radio app, InTune app, and online at bizradio.co.uk.
You're sounding like Ken Bruce. Yeah. On the DAB, on the FM.
Exactly. And sounding like Ken Bruce, do you think I'll get a gig like Ken Bruce?
Oh, yeah. Great.
Do you think they'll pay me $400,000 a year to go on, Greatest Hits Radio?
Yeah, I listen to Greatest Hits all the time. It is the new radio too.
Don't you listen to Boom Radio?
Yeah, I'm not quite that old as you, Paul. I'm not as old as you.
True.
Do you listen to Diddy David Hamilton?
I do. Boom Radio is brilliant. It's for boomers like me and her.
Great
okay.
music.
Yeah, and the music's fantastic because it's all just boomer era. Yeah. The trouble is the DJs are all boomers as well, so they're all 80. They're all in their 80s and it's awful.
Because you're a mere youngster, of course. But may I say that it's Tony Blackburn's birthday on Friday, and there's
happy birthday, Tone.
And you know, I was saying I'm very muffled in my headphones. I was saying that how good he was and how funny. I was listening to him driving back from a Bloomberg party once on a Friday night. I think I'd had a few cocktails and things.
No, that's unlike you, Jules.
But I was being really pleasant and saying how funny he was, and he blocked me. And Jeremy Vines just blocked me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not doing very well. So I think Greatest Hits, they love me. Simon Mayo loves me. He always retweets me.
Does he?
I'll tell you who else I listen to over Saturday morning when me and the new husband and the Greyhound, Darcy Greyhound, we cook our Saturday brunch, which is a little bit of a thing in our house. And I listen to Huey on Radio 6 Music.
Huey?
Yeah, he's so cool. He's like the Fonz. It's like listening to the Fonz.
Right, okay.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, cats out there. But he plays some stonking tunes, Nick your phrase. I'd like to say a warm welcome to Wayne Cunnington, my new...
Your fanboy. Hello, Wayne.
I've known Wayne for quite a while. I've never actually met him, but we're big Twitter... We were Twitters before we got taken
off. He's banned, isn't he?
He got taken off for talking about ivermectin and how he was trying to help himself after his AstraZeneca damage. So we've become good friends.
Right.
Ka-ching.
Good.
I'm meeting him, I think, Nick, on the 9th. I'm going up to London. I think I'm going to actually meet him.
Oh, cool.
But he's my fanboy and he critiques the show.
Yeah, he does.
Generally loves me.
Hmm.
But I think
and not me.
I think he's coming round to you.
Yeah, no, it's because I'll give you a hard time.
But he is coming round to you, and he said you have a lovely sense of humour.
That's right, yeah. It's because she tickles me, Wayne.
With my tickling. Oh, do we have a sponsor this
week? No.
Oh, dare I not ask?
I might get you to move, Jules, because I'm not happy with that.
I'll move over to the green.
I would if I were you.
Don't ask me again, though, because, I mean, I can't move.
But you might have to move back. Right, while she's messing about with that... I'd like to hear from you, all the businesses out there in Kent and further afield. You can get in touch with us. The easiest way to do it is to tweet us, actually. It's to tweet either me, Vanilla Webb, or her, Jules Serkin. Use the hashtag BBunker and tell us what you're up to. If you've got a big event coming up or you want to tell us about something that's more than just a tweet, then you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk and we'll happily... talk about your events or whatever that you've got coming up in the future. Right, I want to talk to you about this now. This is interesting, if somewhat a bit late for me. Make sure your profit stays yours. Presented by Kent Police Fraud Intelligence
Uh-oh.
Team.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, I'm saying uh-oh about your fraud.
Yeah, that's even worse, your mic.
Yeah, I can't hear a thing. Huh? Anyway, carry on.
I can't hear you at all on that mic.
Do you want me to move back?
Yes, please.
Why do we do these sound checks?
Well, it worked in the sound check, but it's not working now. Yeah. Just move back.
Okay, carry on about your fraud.
Just
I'm
move
quite
back.
Interested in that.
Just move back. I can't hear you. Right. Make your profit stay yours. Presented by Kent Police Fraud Intelligence Team. Every business is open to fraud, don't we know? In the digital age, join Stephen Kelly from Kent Police to learn what steps to take to protect your business. Thursday the 9th of February at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. If you want to find out more and book your tickets, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. And as Jules was saying, but you couldn't hear because the microphone was muffled.
Mark could hear me.
That's better.
He put a thumbs up.
Yeah. My...
Yeah, tell us about
my
your
business
experience.
Got badly hit before Christmas when somebody kindly emptied our bank account.
Yeah. And you had no recompense, did you?
No recompense. Bank didn't want to know. Police didn't want to know. Insurance company didn't want to know. So we lost the lot.
I've got something else to say as well, two more things, because, of course, it was Wayne Cunnington's birthday.
Happy birthday,
my
Wayne.
My dear friend. And he didn't tell anyone, so big happy birthday, and I do hope you had cake. And I'd also like to talk about our guests today, because we haven't
introduced
them.
Oh, go on, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got the amazing Natalie Benaigs, who hails from Faversham via Francais, little Francais. And she's going to talk to us, no doubt, about the arts, I'm thinking.
She is, little guess. Yeah. And they've got something really, really smart coming up as well, haven't they, on silent cinema.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Little Charlie Chaplin.
Which is really good for us deaf people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I like a subtitle, even on Netflix.
Because I can't stand subtitles. See, I don't do subtitles. Silent movies are perfect because you don't need subtitles.
Yeah. I wonder if they have a little pianist.
We're going to a little what?
A little pianist.
Oh, pianist.
But we'll be hearing from Natalie after the break at 2 o'clock. And then, of course, we've got the lovely Mark Telford, who is going to be talking to us about, well, anything to do with tax.
Well, accounting and you know, self-assessment.
Abacus.
And we're not going to mention various chancellors of the Exchequer making mistakes in their earnings.
Was that the one that charged us for heating his stables?
It was.
Was that that one?
It's the same one, yeah. Mm. The one that then forgot he'd earned 27 million quid.
Well, we're in a bonkers mode at the moment, aren't we, in the whole world, globally. So it'd be really interesting to hear from Mark Telford later on. And if you've got any questions, do tweet us at VanillaWeb, at Jules Serkin, use the B-Bunker hashtag, and we'll try and answer your questions, or Mark will. And if he doesn't know, he'll text us later.
Oh, sure, but he does know. He knows everything.
Everything. I
know. He knows everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to hear from Natalie later on as well, as you said earlier, about all the things that Kent Creative Arts are doing. I'll tell you what, do you want to read a tweet? Or an email. I'll leave it up to you. You can choose.
That's very kind of you to leave it up to me for once. I know why you've done that, because if you tell me to read a tweet, I will do the opposite.
So. I know. So if I told you to read both, then you're stuck, really. You've got to do one or the other, really, haven't you?
I can't rebel in any way whatsoever.
Natalie, she's very cantankerous.
Yeah. Well,
it's her age, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you get to a certain age.
Did you see my tweet the other day about age?
No.
Did you not see it?
No, tell me. Did you copy me in?
I did. Well, everybody else saw it. I put it on Instagram and Facebook as well.
I don't go on Instagram.
I said, isn't it weird how old people are the same age as me?
Oh, yeah, I think I answered.
Yeah.
I said, I remember now. I very rarely go on Facebook and Instagram. I do it about once a week. But I said that I noticed the political editor on GB News was about 9.
Right.
And I looked at her. They said, here's our new political editor. And I looked at her. Sure.
Are you allowed out this late at night?
Yeah. She was a brownie or a girl guide or something. You know? But
you can't be a brownie anymore.
No, you can't.
No, to change the name.
Apparently it's not allowed.
Yeah, can't be a brownie
anymore.
What
are they now?
I don't know.
Owlies or
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what they've changed it to, but you can't be a brownie.
No, for some reason.
Yeah.
So I will read a little. I've got some emails that you kindly sent in, and do send them in to us because we love them. And you can always send them in as a DM or whatever. Keep them nice and short for radio as well. So this is a nice short one. Women in Business is a mastermind roundtable by On a Dog Walk Events, Sue and Deb. So starting, I could go with Darcy, couldn't I?
Mm.
You could take your horse. Start to 2023 with a to-you list. Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable event follows a wine tasting and a three-course lunch. So basically, it's everything. I'm not sure you could take your dog then, really, because if you've got a three-course lunch, I'm not sure. Well, maybe it's dog-friendly. Anyway, it's at the famous Balfour Winery, of which I'm a big fan of the Balfour Blush.
You would be, wouldn't you, really?
Yes, big fan of the Balfour Blush. Five Oak Lane, that's in Staplehurst. So if you're not listening in Kent, it's where is that in Kent?
if you don't know where it is, nor does she.
Where's it near?
Marden.
Where's
it's
that?
Between Marden and Sissinghurst,
you're
if that helps.
You're saying villages and towns.
Well, you asked me where it was.
It's
triangulated between Marden, Headcorn and Sissinghurst,
that
helps.
Anyone living in the USA won't know any of those.
Well, exactly. So what do you want? The geo-coordinates? What do you want?
I don't like your triangle. Is it near Ashford?
No.
Is it near Tunbridge Wells?
No. Guess where it's near?
Well, Sissinghurst. Isn't that where they had the big, all the artists and the stately homes? Wasn't Sissinghurst?
Sissinghurst Castle, yeah.
Natalie, you'll remember that. You're an artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Who were they? What were they called? The
Sackville West.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sackville
Sissinghurst
West.
Castle.
But what were they called? They had a name.
Sackville West.
Natalie's so French.
What do you mean, Vita Sackville West?
Look, if Tracy's listening, she'll know. So this collection of artists had a group name.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
So anybody listening, do let us know. But it was
like Cubists or...
Yeah, like that. But I did go and visit Sissinghurst.
Did you?
If only I could say it. Yeah. I've got the dog's teeth.
Well, I'm amazed you went that you visited, because I'm amazed you found it, not knowing where it is.
My new husband drove. And the gardens are absolutely beautiful. And if I remember rightly, Natalie, they have a white garden, which is absolutely beautiful. Mm. And, well worth a visit. So if you're American, do come over to Kent.
But that's not where Staplehurst is. But anyway, it doesn't matter anymore.
There was a mention of Sissinghurst. And, of course, we've got lots of listeners now in Romney Marsh, who is quite a way for them, isn't it?
It's not on Romney Marsh either. It's in the Weald between... Marden, Headcorn.
And to me, the Weald is just a load of valleys, green sort of
valleys.
grass valleys with
forest.
Hills and things. No, it's hills and dales, isn't it, the Weald? The Weald
no,
of Kent.
No, it's a forest.
Is it? Oh, the forest of
the
Weald.
The North Downs. I'm a geographer. I've got a passing acquaintance.
I didn't know that the Weald was a forest.
It was one of the biggest forests in Europe.
Was Robin Hood there?
There's a guy called Willikin of the Weald, who Robin Hood is based on, and Willikin of the Weald is a real character.
Great use of the mute knob there. Did you notice?
It was good. Anyway, I'm educating you on Willikin of the Weald, because not many people have heard of Willikin.
No, we've all heard of Robin Hood.
Well, Robin Hood is a fictitious character, but Willikin is actually almost an identical story, but he's actually real. He's a historical character.
Now
you're going to have to cover Natalie's ears at the moment.
Uh-oh.
Okay. In the 15th century, some of her countrymen invaded us.
Mais non.
And Willikin of the Weald, they came ashore where most people come ashore when they invade this country, Hastings. And as they tried to head towards London through the Weald, Willikin shot them all up with his bows and arrows and archers. And he was quite famous for doing that. And the whole story was he robbed them all, you see. And they were all French nobles. And he robbed them all and then gave it to all the poor people in Kent.
So he was very similar to Robin Hood.
The story of Robin Hood is based on Willikin of the Weald, who was a real person.
Do you know what fascinates me about working with you is that you know all these very obscure things.
Read a lot, don't I?
You do read a lot, I was going to finish this, actually. We went off on a tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why we do that.
I don't know.
So it's Women in Business. I'm going to give you the date. It's at Balfour Winery, which is in Staplehurst, which is in a triangle somewhere by a Weald. And the sat-nav, if you're going to go there with your sat-nav, the postcode is T for Tiger, N for Norman, 12, D for Dirty, H for Harry, and T for Tiger. And it's Thursday the 2nd of February of this year, and it's 10 a.m. until 2:30 GMT. And if you want to book, please go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a little slash, and then go into the calendar.
My new car arrived yesterday.
I saw the old one out there today.
Yeah, I came in the old one. I couldn't work the new one. The new one scared the life out of me, so I got in my old one.
Just got your BMW, yeah?
Yeah, so my new one came yesterday. Mm. And the reason I'm telling you is I had to get it insured. And I tried two or three different insurance companies. And, of course, all of them are asking me the registration number and my postcode. And I caught myself going, G for gopher. I did a Jules N for Nigel, and the girl on the end, she's killing herself laughing. She's going, "That's Golf November, right?" And I, yeah.
But luckily, you're not a pilot, and neither am I.
Yeah, exactly. Now, my new BMW, I got in it this morning.
What colour is it, first of all?
Blue. And I got in it this
what
morning.
What kind of blue? Dark blue, light blue?
No, it's fluorescent blue.
I don't believe you.
I got in it this morning and I managed to get it turned on, and then the whole dash kind of lit up and I went, I just can't work that. I'm going in my hire car, in my little Ford hire car.
Yeah, you know where you stand with the Ford.
Yeah. So I got out and I got in the little hire car and I'm going, I'll come in that.
Every time I come here, I keep wanting to try out the Waves because my sat-nav on Mercedes is absolute rubbish. Mm. So I have... it's awful, as you know. I've been coming here for 15 years and it's never brought me the right way. So I keep meaning to do the Waves. Is it Waves or Waze that the cab drivers use? There's a thing, it's called Waze. Google it, you'll find it. And a lot of cab drivers use it. But I never get time. I'm always late when I get in my car. It's always 10 minutes because I load the dishwasher and things. And so I get in and then I never actually do it on my little phone. But then my phone would be sliding around on the dashboard.
Mm.
I want it to go through onto my Merc thing. But the Merc apparently is too old because it's 5 years old.
And we see mine is completely attached to my phone. And as the guy from BMW was explaining to me yesterday, there's three ways of activating everything. I don't need three ways. I only need one. And
it's too complicated. Everything is too complicated.
It's far too complicated. And the funny thing was the automatic handbrake. Yeah, it's got an automatic handbrake, which I'm used to. My Merc had an automatic handbrake.
So is that what you do it with your foot? The brake?
No. You don't do it with anything. You don't. It doesn't have a handbrake. It does it itself.
So when, does mine, when the but then there's an extra.
When the car comes...
With a foot.
Something. Are you going to listen? No, she's not going to listen. It's why she doesn't know anything, yeah, because she talks over me when I'm trying to educate her.
I'm just asking because
I'm trying to tell you, but you're not listening.
Mine's got an extra.
So I'm trying to tell you, but you're not listening.
But yours doesn't have an extra.
I'm trying to tell you, but you're not listening.
Do carry.
Right, when you come to a halt and you put the car in park, it will automatically apply the handbrake, right? Except if you've got the traction control off. If you turn the traction control off, you have to put the handbrake on yourself. I go, where's the handbrake? And I go, well, it's a command.
Oh, no. So you have to...
You have to shout at the car, put the handbrake on. No. But you have to be pressing the right button when you do it, otherwise it won't know.
But if you have a Scottish accent, that's sometimes a bit difficult. Or if you've got
put the handbrake on, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You're from Liverpool now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, mine, as I was trying to say so sweetly, it does go on automatically, but then sometimes it has a little sign saying handbrake and you sort of panic because you've never put the handbrake on or off.
Mm.
And then you have to sort of press the brake about three times heavily.
I'm
concerning.
I'll be interested in people's views on this. I'm firmly in the belief now that we've got to the point with technology of all kinds, digital technology, and I know Mark's a fan of digital technology in the accounting field, but I think technology is now a drain on productivity.
Of course,
in so many things, because it's just overly complicated.
Yeah.
And I think cars are a classic example of that. I spend my time looking at the dashboard and there's touch sensitive screens. I'm supposed to be driving a car and I'm trying to work out how to put the indicators on by looking at a screen and all of a sudden you suddenly realise you're not looking at where you're going.
I think things do have to be simplified, and I know that my car cost me a fortune because there's so many things that go wrong on it.
Mm.
Whereas our old Honda, which Mark's seen in our drive, the CRV, amazing. It's done 230,000 miles. Yeah. We've never spent more than about 80 quid on it.
Yeah.
And that was when the dog chewed the seatbelt in the back.
Yeah.
But you see these old Honda CRVs are all still on the road, amazing cars. Mm. And I think the new Hondas are not as good.
Mm.
And it's the same with Alexa, isn't it? My Alexa, I've turned her off most of the time because she interrupts. I say play my music.
But she goes, I'm not playing that, it's rubbish.
I say play my music. I'm a huge music fan. I've got loads and loads of lists on my thing, playlists. So I say play my music and she says shuffling my music. And then I say another time shuffle my music and she said, I can't shuffle your music. But she will when I tell her to play it. It's really annoying. And then she's breaking up. So I have her playing in the morning while I'm getting ready. And then she just stops.
It's stroppy technology, isn't it? It's the same with sat-navs. You know, some German woman and the sat-nav goes, turn right. I don't want to turn right. I'm going to Staplehurst. I know where Staplehurst is. Turn right. I don't want to turn right.
It's lucky you know where Staplehurst is because I've got no idea.
I know you haven't.
No.
It's in the Weald.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not just a forest. I think I thought the Weald was like dales and valleys and big views. I'm going to check that out.
You'll have to take her there, Paul.
Sorry, mate?
You'll have to take her there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's very quiet, isn't he?
I can't hear that.
Turn him up. You can't move him anywhere. There's nowhere else to move. Rye Chamber of Commerce has a spring meeting. I love this. So do you go in on a little coil? They have a spring meeting. It's the 15th of March. It's 6 p.m. to 10 at night. So quite a late bird one, an owly one. It's at the Brewery Yard Club, which is in Landgate in Rye. I know where Rye is. Very beautiful. They say, join us for the first of our quarterly chamber meetings, followed by a delicious Mardi spice curry. and relaxed networking with your peers. So that spring meeting, please go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk to find out all about that. And it's for the Rye Chamber of Commerce. No doubt there'll be some Rye laughter there as well.
Cool. Do you know what?
Tunage.
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Mark.
I want to tell you what Wayne said first, my fanboy.
Yeah,
he says his Golf courtesy car has a brake button you flick on, which releases when you accelerate. Don't you just love technology? I'd hate that.
Yeah.
Imagine it flicking off when you're accelerating.
Don't want to flick it off,
that
do you?
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, I was in London yesterday with my mum at Moorfields. The driving on the motorway. So you leave a nice gap so you don't go into somebody's bumper.
Somebody fills it in.
Some prat just comes in every time.
Somewhat. Some person.
You can say prat, can't you?
No.
What is it? It's a fish. Nothing rude about
that.
No,
it's a sprat.
No, it's also a kind of fish, I'm sure. Or maybe fish particles.
Yeah.
What are you going to play?
I'm going to play this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Slow intro. Somebody got a cough. Oh, that's the Beatles, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a paperback writer.
No.
One of them.
It's cheesy tunage. It's Taxman. Of course it's Taxman.
I don't really know this song. I think I must have been...
Well, listen to it and then you will.
I must have been in Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the Taxman. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. If you drive a car,
I'll tax the street.
If you try to sit,
I'll tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll tax your feet.
Taxman, yeah, I'm the taxman. Don't ask me what I want it for.
Mr. Wilson,
if you don't want to pay some more.
Mr. Heath,
'cause I'm the taxman.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Cool, that was Taxman, the Beatles. In homage, as a piece of cheesy tunage, to our next guest, the wonderful Mr. Mark Telford, Telford's Accountants. Mark, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, hi, Paul. Great to be here.
Cool. It's lovely to hear from you in all kinds of ways. And thank you for coming back onto the show. I don't expect you to comment on this. This is me commenting. There's been a few shenanigans going on with tax in the last week or so, with some of our glorious leadership forgetting what they owe the tax man and having to make reparations.
Is that the one that heated his horse stable?
There is the one, yeah.
With our money.
Yeah, that while he was Chancellor of the Exchequer, that one. Yeah. Anyway, at least said about that, the better. But one of the things, and I'm not trying to mitigate him because I'm not, but our tax system is incredibly complex these days, incredibly complex, which is great for people like you, Mark, that's an expert in it. But for the rest of us, it kind of leaves us a bit perplexed. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about that I get asked quite a lot, I don't know why people ask me, but they do, is about self-assessment. Can you give us a kind of overview of who has to do self-assessment and what it actually means?
Yeah, it's a very, very relevant one now, because we're coming up to the submission deadline, which is the 31st of January,
right,
next Tuesday. And it can be extremely confusing. Mm. And I think if we just look at it at a very basic level, the people who do need to submit a self-assessment tax return, a personal tax return, will be anyone who's received a notice from HMRC asking them to do one.
Right.
So even if you've received one of those notices and you think, I don't owe any tax, I don't need to do one, you still need to do it. Otherwise, even if there's no tax to pay, you will receive a penalty. So that penalty would be £100. If you still decide to ignore it because you think you're right, you've got no tax to pay, leave it 4 months and that penalty will go up to £1,000.
Wow.
So if you're unsure, the very least I would say is just Google who needs to submit a tax return, and you'll get some instant guidance there. And also, if you currently have an accountant, you know an accountant, just ask them.
Hmm.
So that's at a very base level. I think if we dig down into some more detail, if you're self-employed, if you've got more than £2,000 of untaxed income, anybody who's got more than £2,000 of untaxed income, you will need to submit a tax return.
Just explain to us what constitutes untaxed income, because I think this is where a lot of people fall foul of it. They go, well, I haven't got another job, I don't earn any. But untaxed income is things like interest, as if anybody gets interest on anything. But it is, isn't it? It's interest on savings or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. There's interest on savings. There could also be dividends if you hold shares.
Mm.
You could be self-employed and just have done, you know, a couple of one-off jobs.
Yeah.
And you got paid individually, even though you've got a day job and you get taxed at source through PAYE. Anything's like that, there's a good chance you're going to have to do a tax return.
Mm.
Another one for people who are in a beneficial position, if you're fortunate enough to earn over £100,000, if you exceed £100,000, that's an instant requirement to submit a tax return. Now, HMRC won't write to you and tell you, but you can be guaranteed they'll find out later on and you'll get penalised for not doing one. So it can be very, very confusing. And I would try and do a little bit of research online or speak to somebody who you think would know. And again, just on that, if you want to email me, you know, contact us by our website. I'm very happy to answer any of those simple questions, or sort of questions that might easily keep somebody awake at night.
Mm. For someone like me, I own a number of companies and so on and so forth, but actually my tax affairs are quite straightforward. I don't have, you know, a lot of earnings. I do pay myself PAYE. But even for me, it gets incredibly complicated trying to submit these things. And also, HMRC do things like try to charge me payment on account and stuff like that. Do you want to just give an overview of when they do payment on accounts and what that is? Because a lot of people won't believe this. I spend far too much of my life arguing on Twitter with people about tax, because tax is one of the things that political types do not understand. I mean, half of the House of Parliament don't understand tax. I mean, I'll just have a little rant. A load of people were complaining about private schools the other day and saying we need to remove their charitable status so that they pay VAT, which shows complete ignorance of the VAT system, because removing charitable status won't do anything because VAT, education is zero rated.
Exactly.
So, you know, even the people that make the tax rules don't understand the tax rules. But can you just explain when HMRC require people to pay money on account?
Yeah, payments on account is one of the most misunderstood pieces of tax legislation from business owners. Mm. And every single year we've got people always querying this. Mm. Now, in very simple terms, what will normally happen with people when you submit tax returns? So, for example, the tax return that's due at the end of this month, January 2023, relates to the tax year that ended April 2022. So, any tax that you still owe, you're paying it in arrears.
Right.
So that's what normally happens. Now, what happens is if the amount of tax that you owe on the 31st of January that you haven't paid through whatever method, if that's over £1,000, then HMRC automatically assume this is going to be the same every year going forward.
Yeah.
So they say, ah, payment. So you've got untaxed income of more than £1,000 that's due. So you now enter what's called the payment on account regime. So that means we're not going to wait until the 31st of January after the end of the tax year. We're going to get you to make payments on account. And those payments on account are in advance. So what will often happen, and you've probably heard from this, Paul, people will, 31st of January coming up next week, they'll pay that £1,000 that they owe for last year. And they're also having to pay the first of two payments on account for the following tax year.
Yeah. So you've earned any money.
So it feels like you're being paid tax, you're being taxed twice.
Mm.
Now that often catches people out, and it's something that we need to explain. So that first £1,000 is a catch up for last year. Going forward, if let's assume your untaxed income where you had tax due stayed at £1,000, the two payments on account that you pay January and July every year, which happens 50% of that £1,000, that will just continue.
Mm.
And that will be the only tax you will need to pay. Mm. But what we've got this catch up for the arrears, and then you now need to start paying in advance as well.
Mm. But I just do fundamentally object to paying tax on money I haven't earned yet. And, you know, I understand why they think they're doing it, but it's outrageous, isn't it, to say we think you might earn, you know, 10 grand extra next year, so we're going to charge you now.
In advance,
before you've earned it or even decided you're going to earn it, and you're going to pay half of it now.
Mark, did you hear the news? I know you're not a pension expert. You heard the news about they're now saying that they're going to raise the pension rate to the age of pensions to 68, was it?
Yeah.
In future.
Unless you're French, because the French rioted at the weekend again, didn't they, Natalie?
Yeah. And your age there is 62, is it?
It's 62 at the moment.
They want to change to 65?
64. Let's not get carried away.
No. They said 65 first, but they went back.
They did say 64.
64, yeah.
He's always a bit behind, you know.
They're now saying, Macron is now saying 64.
Yeah.
And our lovely French cousins all had a bit of a riot at the weekend to object to that.
It was tougher with them on the old COVID restrictions, wasn't it? You couldn't go into restaurants.
Anyway, that's completely by the by.
But I'm asking Mark a question, Paul.
Yeah, so not Mark, about COVID, though.
Mark, I know you don't deal in pensions per se, but what do you think about is going to happen with the pension age if they lift it again?
Yeah, the pension or the state pension age is going to continue rising.
Yeah.
It will just continue going up. What's interesting is George Osborne, a number of years ago, brought in the legislation that allowed you, once you were hit 55, you could withdraw 25% of your pension pot tax-free.
Yeah.
Now, what's the common knowledge at the moment is the access to your 25% of your pension pot tax-free is going to rise every time the state pension retirement age rises.
Right.
So now it's going up to 68. So the likelihood that what I'd expect to see is the access to your pension, 25% tax-free, is going to increase to 58. So it's 10 years before the state pension eligibility age. Mm. But what we're finding now is people are continuing to work longer.
Mm.
people often hit retirement age and can't afford to retire because they've not saved. And you know, I'm a huge fan of people contributing into a pension. The earlier, the better.
Yeah.
Because this Albert Einstein calls compounding the eighth wonder of the world, and this is where your money earns interest, and the interest you earn on your money starts earning interest. And it the earlier you can start contributing into a pension, the better, because very small amounts can become very large amounts.
I'm smiling because my pension fund's lost huge amounts of money over the last 2 years. I've lost £95,000 at the last count.
The positive thing to say there, Paul, is history tells us pension funds, stock markets, they... over a long extended period of time, they rise every 3 years out of four.
There's no shadow of a doubt that the returns on the pension fund have been significantly better than the returns on savings accounts. Yeah. And of course, at source, you can put money into a pension fund tax-free.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to, apart from the 25% rule at 55, but when you do start spending it, you have to pay tax on it, obviously.
Yeah, and just one thing I want to come back to on the payments on account, Paul, because there may well be a few people listening who think, I've got those payments on account to pay. Mm. And it really gripes. Maybe you've got payments on account and you think, well, I've only got that untaxed income because I had one-off income in that year.
Yeah.
Now, if you know that your income going forward, your untaxed income going forward is going to be lower... you can apply to HMRC to have those payments on account reduced.
Yeah.
So if you're in that position, you had a good year and you know your income's going to, and which means you've got payments on account or bigger payments on account, but you know your income in the following year has gone down, make sure you apply, you request HMRC to reduce those payments on account. You can do that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this... is because the government have been going to war for the last few years against small business owners that own limited companies that are paying themselves dividends.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if we go back a number of years, if we look at the increase in the rate at which dividends have been taxed. So going back a few years, if you were a basic rate taxpayer, you didn't pay any income tax on dividends.
Yeah. Mm.
They then introduced a 7.5% tax. It's gone up to 8.75% now. And we also used to have a £5,000 dividend tax-free allowance. That's gone down to £2,000.
Yeah.
And you should expect it to be reduced even further.
Yeah, it's due to go down to £1,000 soon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's based on one of those hokey-cokey budgets that we had
exactly.
What impact are you seeing with your SME clients? Are you seeing worries and stress?
I think the biggest thing is the uncertainty, because when we've had COVID, we've had the war in the Ukraine, we've got the energy crisis
is huge,
and then we got increases in interest rates, and everything just it creates uncertainty, and it creates confidence is at a low, which then people start to worry more and more about things. And the big thing I'm saying to people is, try and plan for as much as you can. When it comes to things like tax, going back to the 31st of January tax deadline, you can submit your tax return as early as the 6th of April for the previous year. Now, very few people do it that early. But the earlier you do it, the sooner you know what your tax bill may be.
Yeah.
And then you can start to put a little bit of money to one side.
It's one of those horrible things, isn't it, that we all put off. It's like very small businesses, micro businesses, with their end of year tax position as well and their shoebox full of receipts. People wait until the 31st of December to get it out and start, because they hate doing it.
Yeah. Do you remember we used to have that amazing guy that came on the show, and I can't remember his name, you'll remember, and you could just put all your stuff in a bag or a shoebox and send it to him, and he would deal with it all.
Yeah.
for a set rate, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's what most accountants do, isn't it?
Well, I don't send mine to Mark in a shoebox.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Telford's Mark's company are very, very 21st century. All of our receipts are digitised, yeah. and they have them all nicely lined up in little files in digital folders and stuff as we spend the money.
But, of course, they have lovely Lisa as well. Yeah. And just speaking with Lisa, she's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you've got a forward-thinking accountant, you can organise all those things so it isn't a problem at the year, or not so much of a problem. It's those old-school people that still keep everything in a, you know, a little folder or bits of paper and stuff like that hanging around.
Sorry, go on.
You ask a question, because I've got a question for him as well.
I've got a question from Wayne Cunnington, who's listening on WhatsApp and radio. He says he's struggling to access his pension pot. He's 52. He's been severely AstraZeneca damaged. He can't work. And he says he's able to access it through ill health. But his doctor and legal and general, have thrown up walls for a year to let it. So they're not allowing him to access it, even though he's not working and he needs it.
Yeah, well, you in order to access a pension early, you need medical clearance to do that.
Which he's got, I would think.
Well, if they're stopping it, he hasn't. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, Mark. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I'm not a pensions expert, but
you're
there
not, because you work with someone, don't you?
We work with a number of financial advisors, and we all who are typically pensions experts, and we say, look, if you've got any questions about your pension, you really need to speak to a specialist.
Because it's so specialised.
It is. Plus, as accountants, we're not allowed to provide investment advice. Mm. So we always say, look, speak to a specialist. But there is a free government support, and I think it's called MoneyWise.
Yeah, MoneyWise, yeah.
So I'd recommend Wayne.
There you are, Wayne.
Wayne, Google MoneyWise, and you should get some free pension advice. Mm. And I know you can actually speak to somebody to get free advice.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And they might be able to suggest a few options for him. Yeah.
What do you think about the tech sector? Because that seems to be bombing at the moment.
The tech industry.
Mm, because, of course, it boomed. I think we talked about this last week. Yeah. It boomed during lockdown. Everybody was working from home and stuff like that. But there have been huge layoffs in the tech sector.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of what we're seeing is these tech businesses have received huge amounts of investment.
Mm.
And now the investors are looking for a return on their money.
Mm.
And often what that's resulting in is layoffs by those tech companies.
Yeah.
There's been some big high-profile ones.
Oh, huge.
Twitter,
yeah,
for example.
Of course, and Stripe. I think it was 15,000.
All of them, Amazon, Google, they've all been laying off staff. Yeah.
And I think that's then cascading down to the smaller tech businesses where they've had investment. And where previously the investors would be looking longer term, they're now looking for a quicker return on their money.
Mm.
And obviously that's meaning funding is often stopping or being reduced, which means then those companies are having to lay people off, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
It comes down to confidence again.
Yeah, of course.
It is. I mean, markets are all about confidence and always have been. You know, if you look at the stock market, even stuff like cryptocurrencies and that, it's all about confidence. There's nothing's linked to anything physical. It's, there was a lot of nonsense talked about the trust budget and the damage it did. But, of course, it didn't do any damage because they didn't implement anything.
Yeah.
In fact, the Bank of England ended up making money out of it. They made 3 to 4 billion quid out of it by in their bond sales. But the market confidence took a hit because the traders decided it wasn't a good thing. And you know,
you just have to look at the media every day. It's like clickbait, basically. It's doom and gloom, and every day.
There's no good news,
is there? There's never anyone saying, "Hey, invested your pension."
Well, good news doesn't sell anyway, does it? We all like a bit of gloom and doom. Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, leave it. It's not worth it. Ange.
I want more Mark. You know, I think your wise words. You know, about we need to be investing in our pension, having some savings. But for some people, it's just not possible. With food prices and energy prices, it's a bit scary.
Yeah, it's quite interesting just on this because I I spent a huge amount of time, particularly last year, looking at this, because you get to a certain age and you start thinking about the future.
Yeah,
he's looking at me. He's looking at me now. He did give me a book about this
well,
as well.
I was just about to say, you wrote a book.
I didn't write. I didn't
write a book.
It was
your colleague's book.
I got given the book. It's a book called Enough, which is by Paul Armson.
Because my son's just been reading it over Christmas. Yeah, we put it in his bedroom after we read it, and he said, "Oh, some really good books up here."
It's a really easy one. It's just asking the question of you. You know, how much money do you need for the rest of your life? Mm. And, you know, do you know whether you've got enough or not?
And these emergencies, like I said, with my greyhound, £275 in Herne Bay, of all places.
Absolutely.
It's not an affluent area for a five-minute consult.
Just coming back to what you mentioned there, Jules, people often thinking, I haven't got enough money to save for my pension. There's a great book called The Automatic Millionaire, which is by David Bach, B-A-C-H. Mm. It's an American author. It's quite an old book now. I think it's 10 or 15 years old. But he sort of talks through the steps of how somebody on a modest income, again, it comes back to this compounding, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
If you start saving early, planning for the future, it can grow into a very healthy amount. So Automatic Millionaire by David Bach.
Available on Amazon and other independent bookshops, of course.
Mm. Again, I like to listen to a lot of books. I listen to a lot of books, and if they're good, I enjoy them. I'll get the hard copy and read it as well.
I can't remember the exact numbers, but there's an experiment that shows you how powerful compounding is, which is when you take a chessboard and you put one grain of rice on the first square, and then you double each square. Yep. And by the time you get to the end, you've got like 3 trillion grains of rice. And everybody goes, no, you've made a mistake there. But that is how compounding works. If it doubles every square, you know, if you think about it, 10 doubles to 20, but 20 doubles to 40, but 40 doubles to 80, and 80 doubles to 160. And very quickly, it adds up.
Just on this, Paul, there's a really simple but really powerful rule to think about when you're looking at investing, and it's called the rule of 72.
Right.
And the idea here is, by whatever rate of return you think you can achieve on your investment, if you divide 72 by that number, it will tell you how quickly your original investment will double in value.
Wow. Okay.
So, for example, if you've got £100,000 invested, let's say in a pension, and you anticipate that it's going to earn a 7% annual return, that's going to double in value in just over 10 years.
Right.
72 divided by 7, it's 10 and a bit.
Yeah.
So, that's something that, again, demonstrates that.
Yeah.
You know, you have that investment, you leave it, don't touch it, or even better, you're able to add to it, and then you can all of a sudden see how quickly it goes up in value. Flipping it around for a moment is... anybody who's taken a mortgage out recently, you know, there'll be the capital amount, they'll have your repayments, and on there it will show you the total amount you're going to repay over that period of that mortgage.
And that's scary, isn't it, when you look at that?
That interest figure's huge. Now, use that as an incentive to overpay on your mortgage, because then if you're able to overpay a few pounds every month, it'll tell you how much sooner you'll be able to repay your mortgage.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, that reduced term, if it's a year, 5 years, 10 years, if I were able to invest that same amount rather than have it repay my mortgage, it's going to contribute to my future life.
Yeah, as long as you've got a decent investment, it's not just sitting in a bank account.
Yeah.
Oh, bank savings are pointless.
Yeah, well, you can't get your money out anyway.
Well, it's pointless. I've got a tiny, tiny mortgage. When I hit 55, I took my 25% and I paid my mortgage off. And then I stupidly bought a Porsche and put it on a mortgage. But never mind. No, I didn't. So I've got a tiny mortgage, which is luckily. But it's gone up 4 times in the last 6 months. And And I wrote to the bank and said, well, that's very nice of you, keep putting my mortgage up. When are you putting up my savings rate? Which, of course, they never do. And we're still at something stupid like 0.05% or something.
But that's what I think about pensioners. Yeah. You know, and you were saying about the, you know, we need to be saving, but there's not a lot of incentive.
Well, as long as you don't save it in a savings account.
In a savings account.
If you put it in an investment account, you get a much better return.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, even my pension suffered. I've got a SIP, which is a self-invested pension, and that suffered over the last 2 years. Mm. But even so, over the life of it, I mean, my returns are probably between 6% and 9%.
Yeah.
With very low risk investments. Yeah. Nothing dynamic.
There's women that invest in handbags, aren't there? I'm always reading that. They buy a Chanel.
Yeah, right. There's women that invest in hairdos as well, but that's not quite the same thing, really, is it?
There are these Chanel handbags.
Is this what
handbags
you tell your new husband?
Yeah.
I'm not a handbag girl. Yeah.
Is that a Gucci holder you've got there, Natalie?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not
a handbag girl or a shoe girl, but there are people that invest in these Chanels from the 90s. They've got the Chanels from the 1940s and 50s, and they're worth a fortune if they keep them in a bag.
The problem with collectibles of things like that is, again, it's about market confidence. It's like there was last year, there was this NFT fad. Did you come across it? Non-fungible tokens.
Oh, National Farmers.
Non-fungible tokens, which were pieces of digital art that were changing hands. People were buying things for £1 million. They're now worth like 10p. Because it was stupid, because with digital stuff, you could just click and save it, and you've just copied it, yeah? There was nothing unique about it at all. But people, it was a real tulip scandal, is the way I would talk about NFTs. I mean, I'm not a fan of crypto. Are you a fan of crypto?
No, not at all.
No.
But I think here, Paul, and again, NFTs is a good example. Too many people are focused on this quick win, get rich quick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, The real winners are those who commit to the long term.
Yeah, yeah. Warren Buffett.
He's a great extreme example.
Yeah.
But I think also, again, coming back to that book I mentioned before, Jules, The Automatic Millionaire, that if people will read that...
I've just bought it, by the way, while you're on.
And again, you listen to the first example of a couple on a very modest income who had a modest lifestyle, were able to enjoy later life because... They'd planned and they contributed towards it.
Mm.
And it just shows it can be done.
Yeah.
But something I just wanted to get onto, and I know you'll enjoy this, Paul and Jules, because you've spoken about the energy prices before.
Mm.
I'm in the position where I've got a credit on my energy account.
Oh.
Can I get that repaid to me by the energy provider?
Mm. No.
You have to jump through proper hoops to try and get hold of that.
Really?
Yeah.
So have you been overpaying?
Well, it's energy prices have been going all over the place, haven't they? And we've been notified our direct debit's going up. And think, what's it gone up that much? Then all of a sudden, there's a few hundred pounds credit on the account. Well, okay, I'll have that, please.
Yeah.
Mm. It's very hard to get it.
Yeah. With Utility Warehouse, they're pretty good because I've tried to get it back for my mum in the years, and they'll send it back.
I got into a point 18 months ago where I had $3,000 in credit.
Mm.
On my energy account, and I tried to get the money, but now I owe them money. So they sorted it out by just putting my bills up, basically.
That's nasty.
Yeah. As you say, the trouble is they're all over the place.
Well, we were saying off air, weren't we, Mark, that the price of logs has gone up and there's now a shortage of logs.
Yeah.
Whereby my log supplier was actually stopping, you know, he was, what's the word, stopping us having more.
Mm-hmm.
What's that word? Short, you know. What was he doing? He was saying you can't have any till January to us, and we wanted them in December.
Right.
So there's a word for that, but nobody's going to help me. A shortage of logs.
Yeah.
Outrageous, and of course the price has gone up.
Yeah.
All over to France.
Yeah.
Where lots of forests, Natalie.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're thinking about self-assessment, you've got a week left to do it. You need to do it. And Mark's big advice is that even if you don't think you owe anything, you still have to put in your self-assessment return. And failure to do that will result in a fine, which then escalates the longer you take to do it. And the other piece of advice, which is excellent advice, is save for the future. a budget for, you know, it's about budget, isn't it? We talk a lot about this and have done in all kinds of contexts, you know, especially people that struggle. But actually thinking about what we do, planning what we do, is the only way of being safe about anything. It's the same with food. You know, there's a lot of talk about food banks and stuff like that at the moment. Yeah. But people don't really think about what they eat and how they spend money on food in enough ways to make their lives easier, if you see what I mean.
Well, yeah. A lot of people, young people, are not taught how to cook.
They don't know how to cook
from scratch, and they'll buy ready meals and things which are hugely expensive.
Mm.
I bought a load of chuck steak the other day. It was £17, and I did a chili con carne with it. And that's done us for, I gave my mum two meals, so it's done us for about 10 meals.
Yeah.
So it is cooking from scratch and batch cooking that people need to, people need to know about.
Yeah, I think there's also a point there, Jules. You talk about people not knowing how to cook. They don't know how to manage money.
Yeah, that's the main
Nobody's
thing.
Nobody's taught how to do that at school.
No, exactly.
Yeah. And it's something if people can learn more about money, and quite often it comes, you know, from parents and carers.
Yeah.
They have to try and educate people.
Mm.
But
if you're listening and you've got young children, what did you do with your kids? Do you give them piggy banks? Do you give them saving accounts? What do you do to educate them about money?
Yeah, my children are a bit older now, so they're all there's only one left at school now. But it's very much trying to get them to realise what they're spending their money on, what they're using it for, giving them budgets, particularly when they have got one at university.
Oh yeah,
and that's been massively beneficial for her, because I've been, you know, very keen on her not taking out more student debt. Because, you know, try and work to a budget.
Yeah.
Because the sooner you can do that. And again, it's personal life and also in business as
well. But when they're young, what would be your tip?
Trying to get them to recognise the value of money, and also maybe trying to get them to having to earn.
Yeah, so jobs around the house, bit of pocket money if they do certain things, load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher.
Yeah, anything. That's what we getting did. Up in time, leaving for school in time, getting the homework done in time.
And to save. You know, this is the daft thing, isn't it? If you've got some money, if you save it, it earns money, yeah? And people go, oh, you know, working's hard. Yeah, well, don't work then. Save your money and make the money work for you.
But there's not many 10-year-olds with a Hargreaves Lansdown account, are there, to save it?
Not enough, no. You know? No, there's not enough. There should be more, yeah.
I just had a text here from HMRC, Mark. Just one more step to complete your successful tax return. Please pay by 31st of January to avoid a penalty if you have not done it already. Thank you. They sent me two of those, actually. So.
Have you ignored them?
No.
Yes, that's the important point there, Jules, because, you know, there's two steps here where you might get a penalty. One is for not submitting your tax return.
Yeah.
You might submit it and think, yeah, job done.
Yeah.
The other would be if you don't pay the tax in time.
Yeah.
So it's two penalties there.
Yeah. Cool. Mark, as always, a pleasure to talk to you and pleasure to hear from you. If people want to find out more about Telfords, what's the best way to do that?
A couple of ways. You can go onto our website, telfordsaccountants.com. So www.telfordsaccountants.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Mark Telford. You'll find me there. Send me a message and I'll be very happy to reply.
Fantastic, Mark. Thank you so much for that. A pleasure to hear from you. We're going to join the newsroom shortly. You can read one tweet, and it has to be a tweet because you've only got a minute.
Rye Chamber of Commerce. You always ask me this.
All right, I'll do it.
Yeah, you do it.
I'll do it. I've had a tweet from... Who have I had a tweet from? I've had a tweet from What's On in Kent. Could we have a shout-out, please? Lots of events going on this week. Keep an eye out for our tweets, as well as downloading our app for free to see what we have. And they say, listening to the Business Bunker. So that's What's On in Kent, and you can download it as a free app, and it's very worthwhile. And also... Matthew Dorrington has said, we always love a shout out. Please can you give a shout out for Blue Moxie Agency, the social media specialist. So there's two tweets for the price of one. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the lovely Natalie Benaig. So here we go. Let's join
what's
the newsroom.
Happening. I'm sure some delightful news.
I'm sure there is.
The Business